Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5. HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher, the third, across the foam marble table, as always, Rashawn Taylor.
Gang, whatever that means.
And across the glass, it is not Jordan Schultz. Today, it is Big Will Betts, Will Ortner over there. What's up, dude?
Dude, I had some fun college bets yesterday.
Oh, boy. This guy.
I know, I'm already jumping into college basketball.
As you should.
College hoop.
A gambler never rests. I feel like I've been getting way too much gambling content lately. Not just sports gambling, like Instagram reels. Everything.
Hey, man.
Like
your algorithm.
Like blackjack, like Texas Hold'em. What's the one game that all the kids are playing on stake where it's like basically Plinko?
Oh,
and you lose all your money?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have those ads blocked.
Yes.
They're not allowed to come to me. I block all sports gambling content for the most part, unless it's from this fine company.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's like, you know, the game Plinko from Price is Right. Classic. Who doesn't love Plinko, right?
Well, I think it's top two or three game.
I mean, whenever you had Bob Barker yelling or his PA announcer or whatever, like, what are we playing next? We're playing Plinko! The crowd just goes wild. But this is not like, this game is not like a regular Plinko board, as it's not shaped square. It's shaped like a triangle, I want to say. Oh. And I think that like basic math says that the likeliest odds is it's always going to end up in the middle. And these people just lose their money in just seconds.
Win.
Yeah.
So I might win.
And it's, I've seen a video of someone like getting 100 times their bet. But I will say, seeing the blackjack and Texas Hold'em videos pop up, it does give me a little bit of an itch to get to the tables here. Uh-oh. Soon.
Eager to lose all your money, huh?
Yeah.
All in, guys.
I do miss Texas Hold'em because I feel like back in like mid-2000s, early-2000s, it was at its peak of popularity.
Whenever you have a show on ESPN,
World Series of Poker, Chris Moneymaker.
I loved Chris Moneymaker. My dad still watches all those. All those World Series of Poker, Poker World Tour, all of them, all get taped at my parents' house. Get watched.
But I used to love having the like poker tournaments with buddies, you know, and you'd get everybody together at someone's house and have multiple tables going. I fared pretty well in my Texas Hold'em days. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think y'all know that, you know, Will, you might not know this, but I'm not too keen on just losing my money just for fun. I'll be honest.
Well, you need to be good. That's the key difference between you and I is that, you know, I was good and I won money. Yeah, I don't know what you were doing, but
not winning money because again, there's nothing good about losing money. I mean, like, oh, guys, lost $1,300 last night. It's like, what? Why?
Well, you didn't have stupid. A lucky rabbit's foot or like your
there's no horseshoes,
shot glass or you know your favorite piece of like I don't know food that's in like this Tupperware that you brought to every poker match for the last 30 years with you.
Even when I lived in Vegas, like I think I gambled. Maybe 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
When I lived there, just because that seems weird to me. I just got paid. I know there are people that just can't wait to get paid.
Rashad, trust me, you're the weird one.
I know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But like, there are people that are like, man, I can't wait to get paid. I'm going straight to the casino. I'm going straight to the,
I'm going straight to the
machine. I'm going straight to any of those. Like, man, that's weird that you got all this money to just get ready to lose it. And I understand like there's, you know, there's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
What you're not supposed to have when you play poker, like counting cards and stuff like that. Like, I guess it's bad, but like, I don't know. It's just one of them things. Like, it's not, number one, it's not fun to watch. So for anybody that's watching World Series of Poker, like, come on, man, turn to American Gladiators or something. Like, let's get something a little more appealing. Because a bunch of dudes with sunglasses on, you know, looking at the cards, being quiet doesn't seem
but
like
the sound of
watch
the chips
me.
Clattering
is that sure. What it is?
I mean that's
well, I mean, they do.
Is that what it
that's
is?
Appealing?
Okay. You can learn cool tricks. My dad's got chips right by his chair that he watches all of his shows in, so that he can learn how to do it. He's up to 4 on each side now.
Is your dad okay?
Yeah.
No, my dad. Sure. Look, you get to a certain point in life, and I've realized
they go to his classroom, and he's teaching kids how to play Texas Hold'em.
No, he's not. But I'll
put
tell
the chips
you
away, kids.
Quick, hide. No, I'll tell you this right now. There comes a certain point in time, and I'm finding it with both of my parents, where you don't care what other people think. You just find, like, these are the things I enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm just going to do those things.
I'm 40 now, bro. Like, 41 now. So there's things that I do what I like. Outside of what I like, yeah, sorry,
I'm
bro. I'm probably not going to do it. Now, if it's something that you're my guy or you're my people and you like it, like, hey, man, you want to come here? Okay. I'll probably roll, but... Just on my own, like, this is fine here.
I think I'll be getting there soon.
Like, you're kind of like halfway there.
I'm almost there. I was telling Rashad before the show started that my birthday, it's on Thursday. I'm turning the ripe age of 33 on Thursday. And
old.
Yeah, not. I don't know. 33, you're on the cusp.
That's not old.
You're on the cusp of getting old. I always say that I feel 10 years older than I am because I essentially just add my son's age to my age, and then that's what I feel like. So my son right now, he's 11. He's going to be 12 in March. So right now, although I'm 30, I'm going to be 33, I feel 44. That's how I really feel.
It's not good, man.
No. No, it's not. I was also telling her to try. I was like, it's time for us to start making some changes.
Yeah.
Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live.
Man.
I went down to my girlfriend. I went down to her this room that is her quote-unquote workout room. It's basically become the storage closet. I go in there. She's got a Peloton. She's got a Tonal. She's got dumbbells. She's got everything. She has this fancy weighted like... I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like a, a curl ball bar? But it's
easy
just,
curl bar.
But it's just one weight. Like, you don't put weights on it.
You just change the...
No, it's just a big, long, pink, like, just, oh, okay. I mean...
Cool.
I don't even know how to describe it, but it's one singular weight. And she says you can use it for, like, when you're doing lunges and stuff like that, and you hold on to this bar and you pull it, like, I don't know. She's got the whole setup down there. And I was like, well, shoot, I've never used a Tonal. I do want to try the Peloton because
you
I've seen those.
Tonal.
Huh?
You guys have a tonal.
I don't. She has a tonal.
So is she just looking at every YouTube ad and is like, yes, that's athletic.
It. Hey, she's
and that guy with a six pack. That she, woman with the six pack. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, she's she definitely likes the fancier things in life.
Is there a shake weight over there as well?
No, she's she don't need a shake weight.
No, she's got
she's all good.
Big Joe Fish for that.
She's good on a shake weight. But I do want to try the Peloton because I see those videos of the Peloton instructors that say, like, they have to say the who's at the top of the leaderboard, and people will change their name on the leaderboard to, like, inappropriate names, you know, like Amanda Hug and Kiss, or, like, I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Some other ones that you can say.
Drew P. Balls.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
another one.
So immature.
It's hilarious. Because, again, these up. Peloton instructors are being watched by, like, thousands of people across the world, and they're just, and then some of them, they totally get got with the names. And so that is motivation enough for me. Like, I was trying to come up with names last night that I could come up with. First name Sal, last
you're
name.
You're going to be right, and just going to be, yeah. change his name the whole time.
First name Sal, last name Id Tosser.
Nice.
Yeah, see, that's a good one right there. That's and then they just say it without a whim. You know, reading the top of the leaderboard, and then they're like, oh, my God.
Like, you got me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Dusty's actually, like, worked out in the Peloton, like, facility.
Not shocking.
That Dusty, I knew that
there was one wife, guy yeah. here at the Fan that got into something like that.
Either him or probably, Sprague.
Or him or Sprague.
But I have talked to Dusty before, and he is a Peloton user, so I knew that he... knew that he uses the Peloton, but he's dedicated to the game. I mean, where do they even have those studios at?
They're in like, New York. It's when he went back to New York year or so ago. I think it's more the wife's jam than he likes working out, but I think the wife was more of like, we're going to Peloton. Like, we're going to see the Met, the Yankees, Peloton.
Peloton studio. Yeah, I think I just need to figure out what way that I like to work out. Because I was I started running a few months ago, and as you know, habits go, I went 3 weeks and then immediately stopped doing that. Running is just not my jam. I've tried it many, many times, and I give it about 3 weeks, and I'm just like, this is not.
You know what?
I'm good.
I've always had terrible knees going back to like fourth grade, fifth grade. So I always hated running, and it wasn't until just recently, not recently, maybe about a year, that I was like, running is okay. I found a spot to run to. Like, if I'll make it there and then make it home. I figure that's plenty, right? And if I can go further than that,
Wingstop.
Cool. So I go. I used to go when I lived in Gresham. I would go from 148th to the Dairy Queen on 133rd, yes. and then back. I would never get anything, but that was like my landmark. If I can make it here, then
chicken
I'll
tender
just
basket
make it there, so.
With the gravy.
Yeah. One of those to go, please.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard, please.
No, but it's one of the things, like, after running and stuff like that, after working out, and Will, you know, you can test it. I think we all can. Like, the last thing I want is, like, junk food or anything like that, because I feel like I just would completely wasted this workout and then go and get some Popeyes or something like that. Like, that's always crazy. And I run at night, too. I think that's the other thing that I figured out. I don't like running in the daytime. I don't like people seeing me honking. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Sean? Look at me, bro. Like,
leave me alone.
It's okay.
Get after it, young man.
I go exactly stuff like that. So I go
looking
at night,
good, looking good.
Yeah, people with the jokes all the time when I see you running. Like, yeah, seriously, man, what you doing out here? Like, man, God forgive me for running.
Damn, fatty.
Like yeah, and so I like to go at night. Only thing is, I get a black dude in like a black hoodie just running through. You know, now very gentrified Northeast Portland.
That?
Looks a little suspect to people, so I had to get over how that looked for a minute. Huh?
Why does that look suspect to people?
There are very specific reasons, you know.
I went running once in Ellensburg, and I had a hoodie on at night, and the cops stopped me.
Where are you going? Like,
but sir,
I fitted. To be fair to them, I did fit the description.
Yeah. See, I have to run in a suit and stuff if I just want to be left alone. So I don't want to have to do the Rich Eisen.
Giant bald man running down the street.
Yeah.
You're good with me, buddy.
No, it was balding man running down the street in.
Sir, I'm not balding. I am just bald.
In a sweatshirt that was ripped because the other person jumped a fence and ripped their sweatshirt. Mine just had holes in it.
Because they couldn't contain your muscles.
I had black. No, I was just fat. I had black shorts.
Just hulking out.
I found like the fattest photo of me last night. It made me laugh so hard. It's so bad.
See,
aren't those the worst to look at those? I'm like, ugh,
it's
yikes.
Shirt off, body, like belly painted in a W for Central Washington at a volleyball game.
Let's go.
College.
Hell yeah.
I don't have pockets, so my phone's in my like shorts, and you can see my belly roll over the phone.
Ooh. Yeah, that's tough. See, I had the complete opposite video interaction this week. Similar to you, Will, but it was not seeing myself. I was big then. I saw a video of myself about a year and a half ago where I was probably 25 to 30 pounds lighter than what I am now. And that was one of those where I'm like, see, we need to get back to that.
Yeah, Joe, this is that relationship weight, bro.
We need to get back to that.
It happens.
Because you're happy right now.
You're happy right now. It's like, man, I don't eat anything. I'm not checking for these chicks out here. More pasta, please. Like, it happens like that. It happens like that.
I do like that Montelupo Italian food. There's a lot of, The girlfriend, I blame her. That's what I should do.
You should.
I should just blame her for all my problems.
Is she 20 pounds bigger?
I don't know. I'm not going to ask her that.
I mean,
hey, babe, jump on a scale for me, would you?
Weighing ourselves. Let's see where we are.
If you could tell me how much you weighed when we first started dating versus now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, just document it all.
There is definitely, I have a number in mind as far as weight loss goal, but it's a lofty one. It's a lofty number.
I don't think you should focus on so much a number as far as just losing the weight. And then like,
look
every week or so. Oh, man, yeah, lost another 7 pounds, but... Don't set a number, man. Just focus on losing weight, bro.
I should just starve myself.
You can
emaciate myself.
They're calling that intermittent fasting. Yeah. Is what that's called now.
I'm down.
There's a word for it now.
Let's give it a try. All right, let's get to going here. We have football stuff we got to talk about. We've got conference championship games. Can't believe we've made it. We've got a Pro Bowl match to preview.
The flag match?
They're not doing any actual football anymore. It's just flag football.
It should be just flag football.
And then they get like the linemen to push heavy things.
I was going to say, I feel like I speak for Will and all the linemen out there. Disrespectful. Disrespectful to the hog mollies up front.
No, the best would be if they got all the fat guys and they're like, O-line, D-line, 7-on-7.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And you'd get torn quads, knees, everything all over the place.
I don't know. Some of them dudes are...
They're shifty.
Yeah.
Coaching hires to go over. What Super Bowl matchup we want? I think we can all agree on the Super Bowl matchup we want the least. And then we got who do you love in the second hour. And see if one of these guys can make up some ground, because I'm about to claim a championship in who do you love this year. I am 1 week away from sealing that baby up. But let's start with the conference championship. I want to do one conference championship in hour one, another in hour and two, and I feel like we start with the bigger of the two, the AFC championship game, Chiefs-Bills. Sound good?
Sure.
Let's get after it. Chiefs-Bills, AFC Championship game. Get to it next here. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We're just 2 weekends away from the Super Bowl. But we got to find out who's going to be in that Super Bowl. And we'll do that today.
I think we can guess on half of who's going to be in the Super Bowl for now. At least one quarter of that, I think we pretty much can agree on. I'll start there. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Oh, as far as the one
as far
of the
as
teams?
The four teams that are left, I think there's one that I think we can all agree will probably be there.
Well, I think you and I are probably on the same page on who that is, and I think that's going to come up in hour number two, I believe, because right now we're talking about the AFC. Or maybe you think it's one of these teams that is an automatic lock to the Super Bowl.
I don't know what teams you were talking about, but yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of.
Well, that's the Chiefs and the Bills, and I'm here to say that it finally happens today. The
you
Bills.
Think so? Maybe we don't agree.
Yes. I am putting it out there into the world. It's got to end at some point. This madness, this luck, this voodoo that the Chiefs have in playoff football, it has to stop at some point. It stopped a few times when there was a guy named Brady playing football. Stopped once when there was a guy named Joe Burrow playing in the playoffs. This is the time that the Bills and Josh Allen finally break through. Now, the thing is, with today, something's got to give, because the Chiefs, I was reading a couple notes about the game today and what some of the teams have going for them. The Chiefs have not turned the ball over in 8 weeks.
I saw that stat.
In 8 weeks, they have not turned the ball
over. Not just an interception, but a fumble or anything like that?
Nothing. Someone muffing a punt, kicking a ball on the kickoff, and it goes right back to the defense. I mean, there's not been one turnover from this Chiefs defense. So for the Bills, you need to figure out some way to win the turnover battle and force the Chiefs to make some mistakes. Because we've seen where the Chiefs do make maybe a mistake here or there, but other teams don't take advantage of it. They wait for you to mess up, and then they strike. And so the Bills, I don't think they have to play a perfect game today. They have to play a very clean game. They have to win the turnover battle. I mean, that's what we saw last week in the divisional round. Every team that lost, lost the turnover battle.
Yeah.
And I think that the Bills, now the thing that's going against the Bills is they have lost their last seven road playoff games. So they need to break a streak, not against just the Chiefs, but against themselves, where they have not won a game away from Buffalo in the playoffs in their last seven tries. And I say today is the day that it finally happens. I'm believing in Josh Allen. I'm believing in this running attack. I believe that they're going to be able to keep the Chiefs off the field, the offense off the field, and they're just going to be able to pound their way to a victory.
So first off, I want to apologize to everybody as a Patriots fan. I didn't know this is what it felt like to watch another team just completely go through the season. And I'll be honest, get a little help from some referees from game to game. But even the Patriots weren't in the AFC Championship 7 years in a row. Right? As great as they were and as great as Tom Brady was, as great as Belichick was, they were never in this position this many times in a row. There's something different about this Chiefs team. Like, this, I mean, I know we like to start comparing eras, comparing teams, but this could potentially be the best team that we've ever seen in football. Like, they don't make mistakes. You kind of mentioned it. Like, they don't screw up. And turnovers are just one thing, but there's not a lot of missed assignments. For whatever reason, Travis Kelce, and I say this every week, he's always open, wide open. The F open. Like, I don't understand how it happens or who's not covering him, or maybe he's just running routes so beautifully to where he just finds himself in open space every single time. Their defense is, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when they were winning, it was like, yeah, their offense is good, but their defense needs to step it up. Well, that's not the case anymore. And in most cases, their defense is winning them games. They're not making mistakes either. And I think you can't make mistakes against this. You have to play a perfect game, top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams. Everything has to be on point. You cannot get penalties because they're not going to get penalties like that. And you know they're going to get a few extra looks from the referees every single game. So you have no choice but to go out there and play this game perfectly. Everybody keeps putting this Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. That's what everybody wants to be. Like last week, it was Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. Everybody wants to be that. This is not Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. This is Josh Allen against Andy Reid. He has to figure out how to beat this team. He has to figure out how to play perfect football through the air, on the ground, and come out with the W. Because how many more times can they be in this position? Again, road game against this team. All the odds are against you at this point. You have to play absolutely lights out today if you want to beat this Chiefs team. I think it's such a tall task.
I think that this is the best version of Josh Allen to do it, though. Now, full disclosure, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I am going to pick the Chiefs until I'm proven wrong in the playoffs. It's very similar to Tom Brady with the Patriots. Yeah, you bet the Patriots, and then if you lose, you go, man, well, I lost betting the GOAT, right? I lost betting the best quarterback in the NFL right now. You make money betting with them. You don't make money betting against them. But if there is a version of a Buffalo Bills team that can do it, it would be this team. They made the transition where they got rid of a lot of their older defensive players. They brought in a lot of younger, cheaper players. And then offensively, the big change that you saw is they got rid of all their deep threats. They got rid of Gabe Davis. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. And they've transitioned into more of this power run game. They've got Kincaid and they've got Knox, two great tight ends. You have this offensive line where it seems like every single one of them averages like 6'6", 315, 320. They're massive human beings. And then you've got a power running back.
You got a great running back room in general.
Absolutely. I mean,
you got
top to bottom.
You got the rookie kid,
Ray Davis, you got Ty Johnson, obviously got James Cook, and then you got Josh Allen too, who obviously has a running threat.
Who's a great running threat. And so this team transitioned from, hey, we're going to live and die by big explosive plays to we're going to methodically drive the ball down the field. And it's actually help them. They're much better than what they were. And this is the best season that Josh Allen has ever had. And he's not having the crazy, wow, like he just threw a ball 80 yards in the air and it was in a perfect spot and double coverage and Stephon Diggs caught it and ran in. It's Josh Allen making the smart decision. I mean, think about this. When he was bottled up on that third down, it's third and goal against the Ravens. He's bottled up and you can see it in his eyes. He looks and he sees that Cook is open and he could just pitch it back and 2 years ago, 3 years ago, young Josh Allen does that. Does it work? Maybe. Or does it end up like Reggie Bush in the Rose Bowl? Or does it end up like so many times that we've seen Josh Allen try and make the superhuman play when just the good play is the correct one? And he made the good play there. They kick the field goal and they go on to win this football game because of a smart decision that Josh Allen made. He is not making the big mistake anymore. So if there was ever going to be a Bills team that beat this Chiefs team, right to your point, Rashad, is if Josh Allen doesn't make mistakes, and when you need that one big play, he can make it, which he's shown he can make that play. He's awesome in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This would be the version of the Bills that could do it.
One big key to this game that I'm curious to see how it plays out for the Bills is they are going to be without safety Taylor Rapp. I saw an interesting analytics stats, you know, beyond the numbers that when they don't have him on the field, this is the Bills defense ranks without Taylor Rapp on the field, 350 plus plays. They are 30th in dropback EPA per play, 32nd in explosive run rate allowed. So Taylor Rapp does a lot of things for this defense. Now, you know, stats, you can find one that always, you know, fits a narrative, goes against a narrative, you know, supports something. But again, not having Taylor Rapp, that is a key part of that Bills defense where, I mean, this is where we could see those spots get open for Kelce. We could see where the run game gets a little bit going for the Chiefs. I just feel in my gut, in my bones, that this is finally the moment that the Bills are able to surpass the Chiefs.
Well, I think a lot of us are hoping that that's the case. You know, fatigue is kind of set in for a lot of people with, and this happens with every great championship team. At first, it's awesome when they're doing it. And then they start really winning more. And it's like, bro, we're so tired of the Warriors. We're so tired of the Lakers in the 2000s. Like, it's just you get tired of watching that team be successful so much. So now it'd be great to watch the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world finally go ahead and get their just due. And even if it's just one, like, I think that will be like sufficient for them. But yeah, I think we're all just ready to see it. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen today.
Rashad,
I'm sorry, man. We've seen too much.
They keep doing it, man. Like, they find a way.
You know, like it'd be different if it was like a fluke, but man, this kid like just keeps getting better. This Patrick Mahomes, he just keeps getting better and better. And during these moments, he's just built for him. He's Jordan.
Right.
And defeated in certain areas. Like they're just nothing you can do.
Buffalo was up by 3 with 13 seconds left, and he had to go basically the full length of the field, and he did.
And he did.
And he did.
And that's the cool part. Like, this is just what he does. And remember when Andy Reid was the guy that couldn't win it, just couldn't get it done, went to the NFC Championship 3 years in a row with Philly, just couldn't figure it out. We're not saying that about him anymore. Now we're pissed about it.
Let's take a break. Want to talk about some of the coaching hires, not one in particular, We'll get to that at the end of the hour number one. And I think you know what coaching hire I'm thinking of here.
The Bears.
Pete Carroll.
Oh, yes. Yes. Those are the two that are at the top of my mind right now.
Oh.
Also want to bring attention to the YouTube chat. There was one angry little fella on here.
Uh-oh.
My God.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
I said sup.
Will acknowledged him, and he says, can you guys interact with the chat? I mean, what are we doing here? Y'all channel will never grow. Useless on God.
I would like to point out that you are the one watching the show on a Sunday.
My God. Just upset. And
but we got you. That's a valid point.
Hey, I will say, Sai's got our back, though. He says he pulls out numbers, facts on him. He says, actually, it's almost tripled since they got back on YouTube.
That's three.
They went from 1.2 subscribers, 1,000 subscribers, to now 5,000 subscribers. So suck on that, rebuke 2K.
Actually, don't suck it. You're probably cool. You're just mad. You just want your stuff read. Yeah, we'll read it. We got you.
Keep watching, though. Yeah, we keep watching and listening, however. Let's take a break, look at some of the coaching hires around the NFL because they're starting to fill up. We only have one more job available out there, but there have been jobs filled through this week. We get to that next year. Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Will with a SportsCenter update.
Listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I didn't know this was in the rotator.
This is an awesome song. I love this record.
This is what the NFL head coaches, the new head coaches, were saying to their respective teams. Or I guess the... Wait. I guess the teams were saying it to the head coaches.
Oh, yeah. I got your money.
Yeah, absolutely. I got your money. So, like, the Bears were saying that to Ben Johnson. The Jags were saying that to Liam Cohen. Your Patriots were saying that to Mike Vrabel. That was the first domino to fall.
That was the first one.
Since then, we have had five hires, and there is still one job remaining out there. The most coveted name in the head coaching circles that domino fell as well was Ben Johnson going to the Chicago Bears, going to interdivisional rival. I know it's a business, but it's always not only is it dirty when a coach leaves like 2 days after they lose in the playoffs, but then you go to a divisional rival. Cold world.
I mean, hey.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to. But and you know, when you're looking around at jobs and what's available, the first thing you're looking at is all the cool toys you'll get to play with once you get there. Pause. And so Ben Johnson looked at Chicago Bears. Ooh, Caleb Williams, eh? I think I can work with that, especially as an offensive-minded guy.
DJ Moore. Roma Dunze.
This could be
Keenan Allen. Oh, he just twisted an ankle.
He's always going to twist his ankle. But yeah, I'm like, oh, you know what? This could be fun. Yeah, I mean, and I'm in the division. I know the division already. I've been preparing and really being successful against this division for the last 3 years. Like, yeah, I think I'm comfortable here. I think it's a great hire for Chicago. Definitely the best one.
Of all the teams that needed a head coach, this is the best hire. Again, Ben Johnson is – and let's preface everything, all these hires, by also us saying that we don't know what the hell is going to happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know if any of these guys are going to work out, who is, who isn't. But as far as the best name that was available, that was out there, that was being talked to – ended up going somewhere. I mean, Ben Johnson, he was number one on a lot of teams' lists, and he goes to the Bears. What I did find interesting was in his press conference, I believe he said that he's going to miss beating Matt LaFleur twice a year or something like that. He said, I really enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. And then I was like, wait, so does that mean you're not going to be doing that anymore? Are you insinuating you will no longer... Are you insinuating also that the Bears will continue to lose to Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers? They did beat them in week 18, I will say that. So the Bears are now on a win streak against the Packers.
They're the only team in the NFC North with a winning record in 2025.
Oh, the Bears?
Yep. Yeah. They're 1-0. Everyone else has a loss.
Lions, yeah, they lost. Did the Lions lose week 18 also?
No, they beat the Vikings and then they lost. The Vikings have two losses.
That's right.
And the Packers lost two.
They lost twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they, or did the Packers, yeah, because they lost to the Bears week 18 and then they lost to the Eagles in the playoffs. So how about that? It's a new regime. It's a new era in Chicago.
It is. It is, man. And also, in New York, you know, Aaron Glenn is... you know, taking over. And it has to be dope at points, unless you're unless you're Pierce from the Raiders, to go back and coach for the team that you spent so much of your career with. So Aaron Glenn going to the Jets, a much needed upgrade for the Jets. I do wish they would go ahead and try to talk to an offensive minded person and see about trying to change that offense. Like, all the Jets' woes come on the offensive end, all of them, all the time. Like, why wouldn't you go out and get a guy who made that the focus of what the team should be? I think Aaron Glenn is a fine hire. I think
what's Adam Gase doing?
That's your last offensive.
What's Byron Leftwich doing? Like, why is Byron Leftwich not even in the league? Like, remember at a point, like, he was a coveted name. It was, people were saying, like, hey, he's not even in the league right now.
Like, yeah, so, what was his last stop? Tampa, the OC?
Tampa. And I think he won a Super Bowl there. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, what happened to Byron Leftwich and why nobody wants to hire him. But, you know, I digress.
Aaron Glenn, very intrigued to see how that goes, because he wanted to go to New York. He wanted that Jets job.
When it's your home, when you've played, you know, like, again, majority of your career there, I kind of want to go make something happen there.
And I will say, what he was able to do with this Detroit Lions team, not just the last couple of years, just this season in general, with all the injuries, I know that, you know, it could have been coach getting interviewed in the playoffs, so you give up a bad performance and give up 45. Well, I guess it was actually 38, because one of it, the touchdowns was a pick six. But you give up a bunch of points in the playoff game, so, I mean, not a good look there, but... Hell, we saw that last year with Dan Quinn, right? Like, the Cowboys get absolutely shellacked, give up nearly 100 points against the Packers in the playoff game, and now look at Dan Quinn. He's in a NFC Championship game the very next year.
Things change real quick. So
the one coach that got hired, I believe it was either on Thursday or Friday, and this was one that I had on the list of coaches that I wanted the Cowboys to hire, and that was Liam Cohen of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He will now be the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. This coming after him initially rejecting the job because I think he wanted to work with a different general manager, and then the Jaguars were finally like, all right, listen, we need to fire Trent Baalke, because if we don't, then we're never going to be able to
hire a coach.
Yeah, get the guy that we want. So sure enough, the Jags, I think, got rid of Trent Baalke on Wednesday or Thursday, and then the very next day, Liam Cohen gets hired by the Jaguars. And I love the hire, because I think that Tampa Bay's offense the last couple of years, I mean, it's been awesome. Now, Liam Cohen was not the OC 2 years ago. That was David Canales, who is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I don't know what Liam Cohen's role was before this season, but again, to take over this Tampa Bay offense this season and have them not skip a beat and have Baker Mayfield perform and have another great year like he did, and I'm just taking a look. He was OC this year. He was actually the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Kentucky in 2023. He was the offensive coordinator for the Rams in 2022. I believe that is the year after the Super Bowl run. Yes, that was the year after the Rams went to the Super Bowl. But he's had some stints in Kentucky, Los Angeles Rams. It seems like he has literally gone from the Rams to Kentucky multiple times.
Yeah, he was great this year. You know, that offense was great. Here's some numbers that, you know, Liam Cohen had as far as the Tampa Bay offense. 6.2 yards per play, fourth in the league. 29.7 points a game, fourth in the league. 50% on third down rate, conversion rate, second in the league. You know, like 147.3 rushing yards a game, fourth in the league. So he knew how to get that offense up and moving and was really, really productive this year.
Yeah. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, Baker, what they were able to do. I thought we were way over. I thought we skipped the Sports Center break there. I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And what was the other one that we had? Oh, Pete. We had Pete finding a job.
So we're just not going to talk about the Cowboys?
Oh, we're saving that for the next segment.
Oh, okay. About to say, I don't want you to gloss over that like it didn't happen.
It's in the what do you love or who do you love segment.
Okay. Who do you hate segment. But Pete Carroll, he's coming back to the NFL. I love him going to the Raiders. The Raiders, to me, over the last few years, have just been playing around with We'll see. You know, they went back to Gruden, which we know how that ended. We're curious to see how it would have ended if the emails didn't get leaked. But
I forgot about those emails.
Yeah.
So did he.
And so did Barstool. Josh McDaniels, we knew, we saw how that went. And then they go with Antonio Pierce, and we saw how that went. You go to a guy who's a proven winner at both levels, who has relationships in college and NFL, who can get a culture in Las Vegas that they haven't had, and again, just has a proven track record. Yes, he's old. Whatever. Don't care about that. I think that Pete is a perfect guy for this particular job. I don't think that the Raiders front office is exactly the problem. I think Mark Davis actually does a pretty good job at letting the football people do
the stays football. Out of the way.
Yeah.
He stays out of the way.
But as far as head coach and a guy that can lead a locker room, Pete Carroll is one of the best at being able to do it. And he's shown it at all levels. Love this hire for the Raiders.
I love it. I mean, I know a lot of people, the first thing they want to bang on is Pete Carroll's age. And honestly, at the end with Seattle, things just didn't work out well. But hell, you know, that's what happens with head coaches and players. Sometimes things just don't work out well, you know, to kind of end that run. But again, like you just said, Joe, winner in college, winner in the NFL, not just a Super Bowl. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, you know, back to back, you know, as an NFL head coach, which is incredibly hard to do. So I think if he can come in and really make this team mature, I think that's what he can do. He can add some maturity to this team. Antonio Pierce was a great player. Sometimes great players don't equate to great coaches.
Should have never been hired.
No, it's just one of those things. And it's not to say that he's bad, you know, but it's just, hey, he shouldn't have been hired right now. He needed a lot more work to be able to get to this point of head coach. Pete Carroll's experience, I think it's a great hire.
I don't know that I totally love it because of his age, but I will say this. If you need someone to come in and build a positive culture, like, Pete's the best guy to hire. Yes. For that. And what Pete's going to be able to do with the brand of defense that he likes to play and the brand of offense that he likes to play, you're going to be in more games. These games where the Raiders are getting blown out by 14, 21 points, you know, halfway through the second quarter, they're not really going to happen with Pete. That's not how he coaches games, to be honest with you. Now, you're not going to blow anyone out. Like, I remember a lot of times as a Seahawks fan watching Pete Carroll coach games, there was never a moment where you're like, wow, the Seahawks are out of it. But it's also never a moment of, wow, the Seahawks are just completely dominating this team, even in the Legion of Boom era. Like, they're going to be within a score or 10 points in the fourth quarter. And there's something that can be exciting about that. And don't forget, those great Patriot teams that Bill had, Pete built that defense. That's Pete's defense. Yeah. So a lot of those big players early on.
It's very true. That Super Bowl back in 90s, that's Pete Carroll.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah.
Pete is successful. He will build a positive culture. You just got to hope that whoever takes over for him, because someone will take over for him, he's going to be 70 freaking four, takes over and can continue what he's been doing.
Well, I will also say this. As far as the leader of the country goes, I believe that we have back-to-back oldest people ever to do the job. So, you know, if we're selecting really old people to run the country.
Old's hip now, dude.
Yeah, being old is cool. He's got a 5-year plan. Don't die. That's Pete's plan.
plan? Don't die.
I think that's most people's plan in their 70s.
But there's one job remaining that has not gone head coach. That's the Saints. And there is one job that has been filled, and it is my Dallas Cowboys. And we'll get to that next here, Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We had one more coaching hire to get to, and it is with my beloved Dallas Cowboys. And this was announced on Friday night news dump, that Brian Schottenheimer is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mazel tov?
I'm wondering if we could do some sort of seance, some sort of resurrection, and see if Marty can come back from the dead to possibly coach this team instead?
Don't think so. Be kind of creepy, but...
Hey, let's do a whole weekend at Bernie's thing. Dig him up and throw a headset on Marty and then tie some strings to him, kind of do a puppet thing and see if Marty can coach. What's funny, though, is that Brian very much will be a puppet for Jerry Jones and this team as well. This is... And I've been pretty much dead inside ever since that wild card game last year against the Green Bay Packers with the Cowboys. So trying to evoke emotion out of me is, I mean, it's tough to do with the Cowboys now. This one, though, is like, you know what? Of course they effing did this. Of course. Of course the Cowboys hired a guy that nobody else was looking at. When is the last time Brian Schottenheimer ever was talked about as being a head coach? I can't remember because nobody ever wanted him as a head coach. A lot of teams didn't even want him as their offensive coordinator. He comes in as you pointing thumbs to you that you wanted him as an OC.
I did not want him as an OC.
Oh, okay, let's say yes.
He was great through week 8, and then once every team figured out what he'd written up in the summer, was like, oh, I don't have a curveball. I just have this fastball.
This is a guy that no team was looking at. No team was even smelling the idea of Schottenheimer coming to their team. And, of course, in typical Cowboys fashion, they want to take their guy and try and build him up to be a winner, to be one of the best, so that way they could say, we found him, he became great because he was a Cowboy, and we were able to prop him up and to turn him into something that nobody else did. We gave him a chance. We were the ones that did it. And also, you just got rid of Mike McCarthy. Don't you think you would want to start fresh with a new regime? Nobody from that regime. You're literally going to the offensive coordinator, a guy that was a part of this last regime. I can't. This team is not serious. Jerry is not serious. His kids aren't serious. If you really care about winning, you do not give Brian Schottenheimer this job. But they don't care about winning. They care about cashing a check. They care about getting as much money out of this team as possible, and they know that regardless of who is in that head coaching position, that they're going to be able to do that. They don't care about winning at this point. This hire, to me, shows that.
Bro, the Dallas Cowboys are valued at $10.1 billion.
Most valuable franchise in American sports.
Jerry Jones is not letting go of any type of control of that $10.1 billion. At all. Hiring shy, and the one way the rich people make money or stay rich is by not giving their money away. Because Schottenheimer is probably going to be the one of the lowest, if not the lowest paid coach in the National Football League. And I think Jerry Jones knows that. I apologize, Joe. Like, I'm sorry. Like, for any Cowboy fans, and really, we like to bang on you guys, Cowboys and 49er fans, because you guys are always on TV and you're all, I get it. Yo. I think this franchise deserves much better than what Jerry Jones has given them. Schottenheimer didn't have a single interview with any other franchise in years. Not even recently.
Like, if someone has an article, something somewhere where a team 10 years ago, 5, whatever, was interviewing, maybe interested in Brian Schottenheimer's services, let me know, because I have yet to ever hear that being the case.
I mean, I don't know. There wasn't anybody else that had him on the list. And again, when I think about a Byron Leftwich still sitting at home wondering why his phone hasn't rang and why he's not an offensive coordinator, or at least an offensive coordinator somewhere, and you're seeing Marty Schottenheimer, or Brian Schottenheimer. I wish it was Marty. R.I.P. Where we're seeing him get this huge look for this huge franchise. And who knows? Maybe he'll be good, right? Maybe he needed this opportunity to show exactly what was in his bag.
I said
what
last
he can do.
Segment, we don't know how any of these guys are going to work out.
Maybe he'll be good.
There's a part of it being unfair to the idea that Brian Schottenheimer is not going to work out. But again, there is a reason why nobody else was talking to him. No one. Like, there were other coaches out there getting multiple interviews, multiple head coaching positions were interested. He wasn't one of them.
Your boy Leftwich got more interviews than he did.
Probably.
He interviewed with the Patriots. I I think that this shows that Jerry had no backup plan and that he expected McCarthy to take the lesser deal.
Yeah.
He was going to look at McCarthy and say, yeah, you did great in the regular season, but you got bounced immediately in both of your playoff games that you got to play in. And then this year, as soon as Dak is gone, you struggled. I think that you should take less money. And Mike was like, pound sand, man. I took Cooper Rush, and I made him more than a serviceable quarterback. I'd had back-to-back 12-win seasons. I won the division within the last 3 years. The other year, I was a wild card team. Like, you need to pay me. I'm a Super Bowl-winning coach. And Jerry was like, man, I don't think I will.
I think that league circles, coaches, front offices, people are talking to each other, and it's louder than it's ever been. It's always been... You know, and they're like, yeah, well, you got to go work with Jerry, you know. I think it's now you don't want to go work with Jerry. You do not want to
stay away
job.
From Dallas,
dude,
for at all costs.
For your sake, for your career's sake, everything, you don't want. This is a guy that Jerry will be able to keep under his thumb. Jerry's still going to be able to do his interviews, his post-game press conferences, his post-game media huddle-ups. He's going to be able to do his same thing. This is a guy, and this is what the Cowboys have done with their last four coaching hires since Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy. I mean, just everyone with that. This is a guy that needs me more than I need him, plain and simple.
Yeah.
And that's what they want, is someone that they'll be able to control. They'll be able to have the upper hand on. Brian Schottenheimer being like, oh, thank you, Mr. Jones. Thank you, Cowboys organization, for giving me this opportunity.
Hat in hand.
Oh, my God. I'll do anything you want me to. I'll do anything I can to keep this job. And they're like, perfect. That is exactly what we want. This is not, and I agree with Troy Aikman. He said a couple weeks ago, like,
It's not a desirable job anymore.
No,
not a
it's
desirable
not.
Job.
And Michael Irvin, bless his heart, because he was then saying, like, well, hey, this is an NFL head coaching job. There's only 32 of these in the world. Of course this is a coveted job, right? Like, who wouldn't want to be an NFL head coach? At this point, I wish we would have taken Deion. I'd rather take a chance on Deion.
I think Prime would have been better.
Schottenheimer.
I think Prime would have been way better than Shoddy.
And this is where I pray to the gods, pray to the heavens that I am as wrong. And we are all wrong as we've ever been about the Dallas Cowboys. Well, and that somehow Brian Schottenheimer turns into the next Mike Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, just something, someone, please, for the love of God, answer our prayers. Well, maybe just my prayers.
Yeah,
I don't
just
know.
Yours. The Cowboys can suck forever. We're good.
I was going to say,
I'm
yeah.
not praying.
Yeah.
We're good.
I don't think anybody else, everybody was happy about this hire. Like, yes, keep going. Oh, God. Well, we've got an offseason, a draft to see what the Cowboys do. See what all these teams and head coaches do to build up their next regime and their next team. But we've got another conference championship game to preview. We've got the NFC conference championship game. We got to take a look at what the four potential Super Bowl matchups are, what we want the most, what we want the least, what we think is going to happen. We got Who Do You Love coming up next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.